Welcome to White Paper World, the podcast that helps B2B writers and marketers get better results from your white papers. Number 39, April 12th, 2024. Quick tip, shun the shuns. I see them all across the nation, to my total consternation, puffed up words that end in shun. Too many people play this game of word puffery. You just add shun to any verb and poof, it turns into a noun. But in my book, that's going in the wrong direction. I believe any shun tends to move us away from concrete details into the wispy clouds of abstraction. That's for sneaky bureaucrats with something to hide, or salespeople who want to sound important without actually saying anything. Here are three excellent reasons why writers should shun the shuns. They waste words, they encourage passive voice, and they bore audiences. You know how we always hear that telling a story sparks engagement? Well, I believe using a bunch of shuns is the exact opposite of telling a story. Where a shun is concrete, direct, and specific, a report packed with shuns is abstract and indirect and vague. Is that really how you want your white paper to sound? And while we're at it, let's throw out all the other variations like ation and isation. Sure, sometimes you can't avoid using a shun word like administration or regulation, but try to keep them to a minimum. And when you revise, see if you can get rid of any that slipped in. Here's a list of 25 of the shuns that I dislike the most. You can restate all of them using shorter, simpler verbs. Allocation, approbation, approximation, collaboration, compensation, digitalization, duplication, deletion, eradication, evaluation, fabrication, hybridization, implementation, integration, itemization, localization, monetization, optimization, participation, personalization, representation, securitization, utilization, visualization, and vocalization. Now notice how you can replace any of those with a far simpler, shorter verb. Allocation, you can just say allot, assign, distribute, all the way down to vocalization, say, sing, speak. P.S. I used ChatGPT to help develop this list of shuns. We came up with, I think, 75 originally, and then I cut it down to my 25 least favorites. And by the way, ChatGPT said that digitalization was the worst one of the bunch. I thought approbation was probably the worst because I didn't even know what it means. Still relevant? My interview in Huffington Post. Veteran marketer John Fox just reminded me of the interview we did for Huffington Post 10 years ago. In some fields, 10 years is an eternity. During that time, content marketing moved from a would-be nice to a must-do for every B2B marketer, and an excellent source of work for any B2B writer. So I'm pleased with how well that interview from 2014 stood the test of time. Even though a couple links are broken from companies that merged or went under, all the basic concepts are evergreen. Here's how it starts. I'm here to tell you that rumors of the death of the white paper are greatly exaggerated. And they're not just for the Fortune 500. White papers may have the longest shelf life of all content, and they can be sliced and diced to meet a variety of marketing purposes. That's John Fox. John goes on to describe a certain fatigue factor with white papers. I reply that people do get tired of a format when they never see it done properly. During the interview, I mentioned two white papers I worked on, and you can see the full piece from the Huffington Post and each of those samples at the links in the web version for issue number 40 at thatwhitepaperguy.com/newsletters. The first sample is a non-traditional backgrounder or vanilla white paper, called How to Unlock the Power of Your ERP System with Barcoding. This little handbook describes a tour of a fictional company called the Acme Tricycle Works. This is certainly not a traditional format for a white paper. It's the size of a paperback with color photos on almost every page, 64 pages in all. To reach as many people as possible, it's written in very simple text. This guide achieved its purpose to explain the features and benefits of our offering in a memorable way, and it really did help the company land millions of dollars worth of sales. The second sample is a classic problem solution or chocolate white paper called How to Overcome Retail Customer Erosion by Capturing New Residents. I wrote this white paper for an innovative marketing company called Moving Targets. This is a classic chocolate flavor aimed at local retailers, also known as mom and pop shops. The problem is the fact that some customers stop buying every year, otherwise known as customer erosion. Maybe they move away, maybe they get enchanted, maybe they even die. The solution is to continuously replace those customers with fresh arrivals in the neighborhood, using the sponsor's unique marketing services. I like these two samples because they show how white papers can be colorful and accessible and still powerful. To me, these two white papers, for totally different audiences, about totally different subjects, are both done quite effectively. What do you think? Still irrelevant. Some poor advice on white papers. I'm happy that my advice about white papers from 10 years ago hasn't gone out of date, but some advice doesn't fare so well. Here are two examples of bad advice that I've encountered over the years. Outdated advice number one, make them as jazzy as possible. Here's some misguided advice I heard more than 20 years ago. Use as much color and pizzazz in your white papers as possible. Make them as jazzy as possible to keep people awake. But wait a minute. White papers are supposed to be authoritative, persuasive essays built from facts and logic aimed at skeptical B2B prospects. How does maximum pizzazz work for those kind of documents? Well, it doesn't. That was ridiculous advice then, and it's still ridiculous today. Outdated advice number two. There are 12 different types. When I first started writing white papers, all the experts agreed there were 8, 10, or 12 types of white papers. After a few years, I sat down to make a list of all my projects. I was delighted to find I'd worked on more than 100 white papers, and I took a minute to look at each one. An astonishing thought struck me. Nearly all the white papers I'd written fell into only three buckets. It was a sweltering summer day and my kids were begging for ice cream. So on that trip for ice cream, I came up with my three flavors of white papers, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And from that day on, I no longer agreed there were 8 or 10 different types of white papers. My three ice cream flavors covered 4 out of 5 white papers. Believe it. April book giveaway. Send me some bad advice. Have you ever heard something about white papers that you just don't think is right? That can even be something I said. I don't mind. So send that to me and tell me why you don't agree. And if you send me something, I'll enter your name in my April book giveaway. The winner gets to choose any title from my list of recommended books on white papers and everything else. To enter, drop me an email to gordon@thatwhitepaperguy.com by 6 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. That's gordon@thatwhitepaperguy.com. I'll publish the winning entry with a mini profile of our new winner. That's all for this issue. You can get all the previous issues of White Paper World from thatwhitepaperguy.com/newsletters. And to get every future issue, visit thatwhitepaperguy.com/subscribe. Until next time, good luck on all your projects from That White Paper Guy, Gordon Graham.